he saw the 3-year extension.
Whoa!
Ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news. At last, according to Ian Rappaport, and I'm making sure this is a real account.
Yeah, I'd make sure, bud.
At Rap Sheet, and Schefter's got it too. At last, the Eagles are trading A.J. Brown to the Patriots.
Getting up in the morning, gotta thank God.
Hey, God.
I don't know what today's. Oh, that's messed that up. Seems kind of odd. No, no smog. Mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out.
Are you as horny as I am?
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well, what a wonderful orgasmic encapsulation of what yesterday was here on Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. It is 93.7 WEEI. Hello, everybody. Today is the day that you woke up knowing that A.J. Brown is a member of your New England Patriots, and I, Rich, certainly have been extremely excited.
Well, you don't sound it. This is not like when the Sox took out the Braves for a game. You were jacked and pumped.
I went full David Lee Roth yesterday, baby. I was like,
oh, it's all out.
And now it's like you got to kind of rein it back in. Now the reality is set in.
Terp just posted a clip of Drake May to A.J. Brown on the practice field. Yeah. Doesn't that get you going?
So those clips are always hysterical because the media is way far away. You can barely even ever tell what's going on. It's like 18 people at the same time in your feed. A.J. Brown takes a field for the first time. A.J. Brown's walking out and look, it's A.J. Brown. And you're like, all right, I get it. And I understand he's there. It's very cool that he's there. And I like the fact that he's about to speak to the media. As a matter of fact, we will carry that live here in just a couple of minutes. He is slated to speak, like right now. So as soon as he gets up to the podium, we will play that. Since then, Vrabel has spoken. I mean, all of the press has spoken. It has been a very interesting day. Now that we kind of get over the I don't want to say the shock, because, my God, it's been 3 months that we've essentially knew this was going to happen. I sent Stiz a funny news clip where they had a man on the street interviewing people in Philadelphia, asking what they thought of the A.J. Brown trade, and the very first person they interviewed said, well, I just didn't see this coming. It was a shock to me when I woke up. You're literally the only person in America probably who had no idea this was coming.
Maybe they didn't believe it. He is the greatest receiver in Eagles history. Like, if you look at their illustrious, that's what everybody says
like,
there.
Like,
so,
what is that judged by? Is that judged on by pure numbers?
Yeah, I mean, Super Bowl/numbers. I mean, so, yeah. I mean, he had four pretty good years. They were 1-1 in Super Bowls in 4 years there. They rented him, I guess, for a couple years, and he went back to Mike Vrabel. But what's fascinating is listening to his sit down with Maria Taylor, which is 25 minutes on the Carmelo Anthony podcast. It's such a unique experience because this is a guy, A.J. Brown, who grew up in Mississippi.
Yeah.
But he grew up a Pats fan. And he starts the interview with her talking about the rug. He has a Patriots man cave rug, which he shows off. And he said, I've had this for 4 years.
Did he use the term man cave?
It actually says man cave on the rug.
Oh, boy.
And it's got the Patriots helmet on it.
You can't do that. You can't use that term.
And he doesn't have the Sean Hannity traffic signal in the background.
No, you're right. Does he have, yeah. Or well, did he have, like, samurai swords, Sean Hannity?
But
Sean Hannity.
But so this guy, and he admits he was a kid and grew up watching the Patriots dynasty. He had a Brady jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the 2007 Super Bowl, he cried and threw everybody out of the house when they lost to the Giants, and the perfect season was ruined. And he was built on the Patriots dynasty in Mississippi, wanted to be a Pats fan, cried during the draft when he wasn't taken, coached with – Vrabel was his coach, didn't like him at first, but eventually he took on the Vrabel-Belichick mentality.
Yeah.
And that, he kind of admits, got him in trouble in Philly because he tried to be a hard-ass leader. And now he's coming back as, like, the most – you know, he's been raised as a Patriots fan from birth. It's wild.
It's a cool story, and it is nice that you can go back and you can take a look at all those old videos because it's legit. I mean, he was always, for the longest time, legitimately a Patriots fan. That, I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean a ton. It's just a cool thing to make you feel even better about the guy getting signed here. But you know what, Stiz, just so we can go and get our sponsor, and let's say that sports happened, shall we? Let's do it.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes, sports indeed happened, and it's brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. And we have a very cool guest coming up as well at 3 o'clock. You know, we were talking about Caleb Durbin and how he went outside of the system because they didn't have the right kind of batting coaches with the Red Sox and found somebody on his own.
Yeah.
I guess other players from the Red Sox had gone to this guy against, you know, not without telling the Red Sox. Well, we have that batting coach coming in studio.
Good, Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson hunted him down. So we actually have him coming in studio, and he'll be in at 3 o'clock. On top of that, Terp is going to be in and talk to us for a little bit, and Christian Arcan will be joining us as well. But A.J. Brown news. As broken on our show yesterday, of course, A.J. Brown, now a member of your New England Patriots, wasted no time in getting into town. I mean, the videos this morning, I mean, right there, RKK was waiting for him with a nice grilled hot dog slice.
Great white jumpsuit.
Oh,
yeah. Did you like that clean look? Maybe you should switch from black to white.
Green today, as a matter of fact. Nice. I'm blowing people's minds on the old YouTube. But in return, the Patriots, of course, gave the Eagles a 2028 first-round pick with a 2027 fifth-rounder. And the grades from all the talking heads are mostly positive. Bleacher Report gave the Pats an A-. USA Today wrote a B-plus in crayon. And our buddy Jeff Howe at The Athletic gave the trade a B, saying, quote, "Brown will absolutely be motivated to prove himself once again. Brown is intrinsically wired to find all sorts of ways for self-motivation, so a big season in 2026 almost feels inevitable, health permitting." But ESPN's Seth Walder wrote a B-, but it read like a D-plus. He said, quote, "New England should be aiming for a return to the Super Bowl, but this deal should not be thought of as a title favorite adding the final piece to put it over the top." He said, "When ESPN's Football Power Index comes out later this week, it will have the Patriots as the 12th best team in the league entering 2026.
Wow, that's surprising.
They're
kind of, I guess they're consistently fourth or fifth in the AFC, so maybe that makes sense. Rams are obviously the favorite.
I'm trying to think, because we talked about this with Ted, and that was like, take a look with A.J. Brown. How many teams in the AFC are you certain are better than the Patriots right now? Like,
None. I mean, I don't get Baltimore consistently being up there.
You see, Baltimore is a huge question mark for me. I don't know what that team is going to be because obviously it's a brand new coach. Mm-hmm. We don't know how Lamar is going to play.
Right.
I mean, I would say the Bills, you could probably put them up there.
Right. Like, I mean, everybody kind of agrees Josh Allen, best current quarterback going. So great.
No question. People are freaking out over the Bengals this year. I would say that they're probably at the same place the Patriots are.
Right, but they were 6-11 last year.
Right, so exactly.
Even Denver, okay, you didn't get Bo Nix in the AFC title game, but are you totally convinced Denver's better than you? Yes, it was, you know, their backup, but you beat them at their place in the biggest game of the year that matters. So and especially with A.J. Brown now switching everything around, Damian Woody, I loved on ESPN today. He threw out there, he thinks, best receiver group in the league.
Let me hear that, because that's a fairly hot take. Yeah. Let me see what he has to say.
Not Randy Moss, but he's awfully good, and he's not as old as people think he is. How good a marriage do you think this is going to be? What does this make the Patriots?
I agree with J-Mac. I think the Patriots, they're going to be one of the contenders in the AFC. So much has been talked about this offseason, coming off of that bad Super Bowl loss against the Seattle Seahawks, where they got dominated, that the Patriots are, you know, bound for quote-unquote regression.
Right.
Bound for regression because they're playing the first-place schedule. And when you bring a 1A alpha in A.J. Brown, look at what the wonders that he'll be able to do for that offense. And, oh, by the way, I think Dan Olowski mentioned that Patriots wide receiver room may be the best in the league. Like, it is deep. And so have a ton.
Ooh, boy, that's – you're kind of – best in the league?
Best in the league. Now, Schrager kind of was like, are you sure? Better than the Bengals? But so Woody's follow-up was just that deep in terms of, like, top five depth. So you really have to you roll the sleeves up and go into, like, all right, who's got the five best receiver group in the league, position group?
I'm gonna need a minute with that. But the one thing that I thought, I did think it was kind of funny because Josh McDaniels said something somewhat similar. Me and Josh, we're right here. But I did think that, you know, is A.J. Brown the first offensive player since Gronk that this team has had that is going to be a real problem for defensive coordinators? Like, that it's going to be it's going to make their job,
I mean, Edelman,
difficult.
I think you have to say Edelman, when he was here post Gronk, was still a problem for other teams.
But you admit that Edelman was great partially because of what Gronk was as well when they played together. When it was just Edelman, that wasn't horribly tough to scheme against.
Yeah, you're right.
But this is, I think, the first player since Gronk where you're going to actually have a defensive coordinator who's going to have to crack his knuckles and go, we got to figure something out here.
No doubt. I mean, maybe Antonio Brown, if you want to say the game and a half that he was here, you know,
sure,
whatever.
For that game.
But yeah, this is what Brady bitched about. They begged him to trade for Mohamed Sanu. He was looking for the alpha receiver so many of those years. Mm-hmm. And now, knees aside, I think everybody would agree they've got one in that top tier, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it does feel like this is something significant. Like, this is one of the first times in a long time that they've made a move, you know, outside of obviously drafting Drake May, where you've gone, okay, I truly feel, and Ted thinks that this is worth two games.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the addition of A.J. Brown is two wins, which means everything. That's either making the playoffs or not making the playoffs.
That's where Ted is now. He's calculating the win totals for next year. He needs a full day to break that down.
Yes, yes, yes.
That and some dental work.
And, of course, dental work. We both were at the dentist this morning.
What's up with that?
I got my teeth completely jacked up, and they did. I've skipped going to the dentist for, like, almost 2 years. I just kept blowing it off. I was like, I'll go later. And when I finally went, it was one of those, oh, Jesus, dude, like, look at your teeth. And they said, we're going to have to do, like, deep cleaning. And they did this thing today where they shot, it might have been 7 or 8 shots in my mouth, and just did the right side of my mouth and cleaned it for an hour and a half. Like, went deep pocket cleaning, and then, like, an hour, and then I have to go back later on for them to do the left side of my mouth. So if I look like I'm keeping the spittle out there, you'll know why. All right, we are going to be right back. A.J. Brown is set to speak. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes, we'll be back. I'm going to be sitting here staring at this microphone. We will be back in 2 minutes, and A.J. Brown will be speaking live. 93.7 WEEI. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here, and the Ketch's Law Injury Attorneys studio. No fee unless you win. Little traveling Wilburys, very nice. I don't know if there's a reason or a theme, or is it just your choice, Ken?
Probably told Stiz at some point this would be a good one.
I'm not opposed.
Wilbur. Oh, good.
Oh, I love the traveling Wilburys. I think that Tom Petty's Wildflowers album is one of the all-time great albums.
That's soft for you.
Dude, it's not soft for me. I'm not Mr. I'm not always angry. Oh. Not always.
Okay.
Just a lot.
Good.
No. Wildflowers is a perfect album. It's an absolutely perfect album, front to back, no question. All right. By the way, real quick, we were talking about how is A.J. Brown there?
Yes.
Is he there? All right.
He is speaking. Stiz is trying to dial him up here.
Okay, you just give me a thumbs up when we're going to go live to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is now speaking over at Gillette Stadium. Are we good, Stiz? All right, let's go live.
You didn't know, you know, I let my agent kind of handle that. I was staying focused with my family and trying to be where my feet were, you know, and let him do his job.
A.J., you had great success in Philadelphia. Huh? Won a Super Bowl, four straight 1,000-yard seasons, but it felt like, and from the reporting of it, that maybe there's some dissatisfaction there at the end that helped sort of speed this up. Can you kind of walk us through what happened that led you to be out the door there and in here?
I won't get into, like, details about it, but, I'm excited for this opportunity. I'm here now, not to get into details. None of that stuff matters, you know. What's done is done, and we're here, and we're moving forward.
AJ, can you talk about keeping the word excitement?
Yeah.
And now that it's happened,
yeah,
it's real. I mean, this has been talked about forever.
Yeah.
So can you explain that level of excitement now that it's really happening here?
Just talking to my mom, and I was like, man, I'm still in awe. You know, I'm trying to adjust and, you know, walking up the hill with the uniform on. I was like, man, this is real, you know. And caught myself one point in practice, wasn't paying attention because I was like, dang, I'm a Patriot, you know. You know, and just trying to take it all in as much as I can. You know, obviously, you know, I got back to work quickly, but it's levels to it, and I'm, like I said, I'm enjoying it. It's obviously, I know this ain't heaven, but, you know, it's close to it.
When you guys had that huddle at the end that Mike always does, and you were listening to his voice again,
yeah,
did you kind of put your head down? Like, was it a little surreal for you?
No, that was this morning. That was this morning when Bray was getting on Will Campbell.
Yeah.
He was getting on him, man. He was saying, he was like, don't leave. I'm about to get to my best part. And I was like, I've been around you a million times. I know what you're about to do to him. You know? And so that's when it kind of just started to set in, and I'm around Brady. You know, so.
Where did this passion come from for the Patriots?
Oh, and man.
What do you say to the fans now that you're here that are going to be watching you every game?
The passion came from wanting to be like my big cousin. He was a big Patriots fan, and I want to, you know, like I said, I want to be like him. And as far as I can remember, you know, I was a Patriots fan, and to the fans, you know, mean, it's time, you know, better late than never. We're right on time, man. And I'm so excited. You know, I can't wait to get out there in Gillette Stadium and, you know, hit a crowd and make plays and have fun.
What excites you about playing with Drake?
Everything, man. You know, I was watching him today. You know, obviously, you know, I'm learning the plays and getting out there with him. You know, he can make any throw. He's very poised. Like today in the meeting, I would say, he kind of took over to me. You know, Josh was speaking, and he, you know, kind of cut Josh off, not in a rude way, but, you know, he just kind of took over. You know, and that's, it says so much from a young guy, you know, to know what he's talking about, number one, and to lead, you know, and to be the voice of this team. So, you know, when I heard that, I was like, wow. That was impressive, you know. Obviously, I heard great things about him, but that part alone tells me a lot about him and how much he loves his job and, you know, he studies and everything. So, yeah.
DJ, first off, welcome to New England.
Thank you.
But with Drake specifically, a lot of people talk about your abilities as a deep ball receiver.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people talk about his skills as a deep ball passer.
Right.
Just how do you feel like your games can complement one another?
Obviously, you know, that component of it, yeah, we want to grow in that part, but also we want to grow in our areas. You know, we want to try to attack the three levels on the field, you know, short, medium, and long. So,
what do you remember about your first impression of Mike Vrabel, and how is your relationship growing?
My first impression?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not like him. Yeah, I mean, I can say that, you know, but what I've grown into, man, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he coaches hard. He holds his guys accountable. You know, and I'm not saying that lightly. He really does, you know. And he leads this group, leads the team, you know. And honestly, I believe that he's daring somebody to challenge him so he can show you, you know, he still thinks he can play. So, yeah.
We're listening to A.J. Brown live from Gillette Stadium, and we'll drop back in.
What do you think his offense and also your fit in it, specifically how he likes to move pieces around?
Just from the short little period that we talked, you know, I'm excited, you know. He's given me a whole bunch of ideas. I've been around Brave long enough to not get into scheme, so I can't give you nothing. But I'm excited, you know. So.
Hey, you to
feel fulfilled. I'm fulfilled. I'm fulfilled now.
But on the field, when the season goes, when the magic of being a Patriot wears off a little bit, and you get into the season.
Oh God.
What do you have to do for you to feel like, or what?
What do I have to do?
Yeah. Or what is your kind of percentage or role of the offense have to be to feel like that you're fulfilling what you feel like you want?
Did he say the magic of being a Patriot?
I'm just gonna work hard, let the chips fall where they may. You know, go out there and make plays and, you know, help my teammates. That's all. So.
Hey, I asked Todd Downing and Mike about you, and he said Downing in particular, he's demanding. Smart player, he expects a lot from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
How do you temper your demanding nature with, okay, you've got a long hair too, as you join a new team?
Also, I think first off, you got to learn the guys. You know, you just can't come in demanding, you know. Like today, they wanted me to get up in the front. I'm like, nah, I got to earn that, you know. And he was like, you know, it's a respect thing. I'm like, I got to earn that first, you know. And I want to earn that. And I want to earn those guys' respect. You know, but obviously it's about getting to know him first, and obviously you can see how far you can push him because, you know, I just want to serve guys and help guys as much as I can, you know, on the field, off the field, you know, whatever I can do. So,
AJ, you mentioned having followed the Patriots. We've heard Josh McDaniels will show clips of, you know, past teams, older players. Throughout your NFL career, are there any former Patriots you've modeled your game after, guys you've built a relationship that you've gotten advice from?
Other than the obvious Tom, I bet. But nobody, nobody, yeah.
AJ,
you had Randy Moss here, so I mean, like, there's Randy Moss. So, like.
AJ, you're saying they asked you to stand in front of the whole team, and you were like...
No, it was on a stretch. They wanted me to lead the line, so I was just like, you know, I'm cool, bro. You know, let me earn that for you first. Yeah.
I'm curious, with your knee, can you just let us know kind of how your knee is feeling, any updates with that? Because I know sometimes
like,
the injury has come up.
No injury, nothing to worry about. You know, I think this whole little, you got to understand where I came from. So any conversation about anything is going to come up, you know. So maybe in, 4 years, I've missed one game from shot to the knee. So that's nothing to worry about. I'm good. I'm ready to go. you know, so.
So, AJ, you talked about being mindful of your role today and easing your way in.
Yeah.
Mike talked about, Coach Ritten talked about your leadership, that you're a humble guy, but you also run a league.
Mm-hmm.
So, eventually, that's going to just, how's that going to play?
You know, you let that happen organically. I don't want to come in and try to force anything. You know, like I said, I want to earn my respect from my teammates, you know, by how hard I work, how I show up, you know. That's it. Simple.
Why did you pick
a
number one instead of number 11?
Yeah, one, Julian Edelman. You know, obviously he gave me his grace to wear 11, but, you know, I got so much respect and so much love for him. You know, I'm going to let that be, you know, and I'm going to create my own legacy here, you know, and just getting back to my roots, you know. I was number one all the way up until I got to the league, you know, and I tried to get number one in Tennessee, and I could, you know, because of Warren Moon, but, and even Philly, I tried to get number one, but Jalen just changed to one, you know, from two, so, you know, it was a match made in heaven going back to my roots, you know, and it feels good, so that's all, not
you,
crazy.
How much do you feel you have left, last question, guys, in the tank?
How where, much?
Where you're at in your career?
You'll see.
Thank you.
All right, that is AJ.
I like that. Like, that was great.
AJ Brown live over at Gillette Stadium, and I have to say, somebody give a bonus to the gentleman who asked, "What's it like once you get over the magic of being a Patriot?"
How's the magic of Christmas, AJ?
You could do magic.
It is pretty cool, though, that he was such a Patriots fan.
Okay.
I got to be in the city, New Englander, home team guy. Like, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
It is. I get it. And matter of fact, someone kind of even alluded to that at the beginning. That's perfectly fine. But the magic of being a Patriot.
And I loved how, like, AJ was playing with that guy. Like, what are you saying? Like, he had a couple follow-ups. This guy was hemming and hawing, hemming and hawing.
There were some great questions in there. All right. We'll take your calls on that. 617-779-7937. I like what I heard. I think A.J. Brown, I love the fact that he came from a market where he's used to the media being extremely critical. This guy gets it. But there were some interesting nuggets in there. We will take your calls.
And real quick, can I tease this? There's a counterpoint from the Philly Inquirer, which on A.J., and now that he's gone, what they're saying about him that I would like to surface as
oh,
well.
Oh, of course. I'm sure that they're like, yeah, good, we didn't want him anyway. All right, we'll get to that right after this.
My first impression? Oh, I did not like him. Yeah. I mean, I can say that, you know, but what I've grown into, man, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he coaches hard. He holds his guys accountable, you know, and I'm not saying that lightly. He really does, you know, and he leads this group, leads the team, you know, and honestly, I believe that he's daring somebody to challenge him so he can show you, you know, he still thinks he can play. So, yeah.
I got the magic stick. I know if I can hit once.
I can always count on Stiz coming back with something that is exactly on point of what I was thinking about. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. We're getting comments here on the text line. That might have been the most ridiculous press conference question I've ever heard in my life. Holy moly. AJ is going to ask to go back to Philly after that. Might. We don't have it cut up yet, but we're going to. But what I don't know who it was, but somebody said, you know, when once the magic of being a Patriot passes. Oh, you have it? Like, let me hear it. Can I hear it in its entirety? Okay, let's hear it.
But on the field, when the season goes, when the magic of being a Patriot wears off a little bit and you get into the season, what do you have to do for you to feel like, or what?
What do I have to do?
Or what is it? Kind of percentage or role of the offense have to be to feel like that you're fulfilling what you feel like you want to be.
Who is?
I'm just going to
stop. I don't even.
That's not a local guy. Is it
Kyle Roach? You know what? I don't want to ask who it is because I feel bad for him, and I don't want to say their name on the air because I feel bad. Because it's such a bad question. Like, that's a really bad question. But the magic of the. You know what that reminds me of? Do you remember? Oh God. I don't know why this question sticks out so much. Do you remember when the whole Deflategate thing happened? There was that reporter who was not someone who usually doesn't go to these press conferences, but he goes, you know, Tom, there's a lot of kids out there asking, what's up with our hero right now? Yeah. That's what that felt like.
I was trying to put my arm around you, AJ. Let's talk about how great this is. But he, but it is when AJ Brown talks about the Patriots, especially in this Maria Taylor interview.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he goes on like it is magic. In fact, what did he say even in this availability? This isn't heaven, but it's close to it.
It was very cool. Like hearing him say that, it truly feels like he wants to be here. I loved his answer about Mike Vrabel. I thought that was great because we know that there was a history of them butting heads. But he also has come out and said that Vrabel and the way that he pushed him has made him the player that he is. You know, it's almost like Whiplash, the movie. You know, he got the Vrabel's that, you know, bald-headed teacher, and he's Miles Teller. But I thought that he's the kind of guy that's not going to wilt under the big lights, not just because he's played in some of the biggest games, but also because he's played in Philadelphia. And there's very few markets where there is a scrutiny on your players as there are in Boston. You've got Philly, Chicago, Dallas, New York. I'm trying to think where else. Am I missing any other big city where they where the press is just ravenous?
No, I think those are the big ones. I mean, like Pittsburgh is obviously football is all people care about, but it's not.
But
it's,
that's
it's
not
kind
the
of
same.
Small market, small timey in a way.
Because there were times where I felt that Aaron Rodgers was being protected by the media up there and being very.
Yeah.
Polite and the people who and there's a lot of national people now who end up, you know, asking some of the tougher questions. But I do like that AJ Brown comes from that pedigree. I don't know if you've seen this thing that's gone around. I think it might have been ESPN. I got to give them credit. But they wrote down notable wide receivers in their first season with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I've seen them making the rounds.
And it's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started 2007 with Wes Welker. His first year with Josh McDaniels, 1,175 yards, 8 receiving touchdowns.
Yep.
Randy Moss in 2007, 1,493 yards, 23 receiving touchdowns. 2009, Brandon Marshall, this is out in Denver, 1,120 receiving yards, 10 receiving touchdowns. And then Devontae Adams out with the Raiders in 2022, 1,516 yards, 14 receiving
and
touchdowns.
I think you could throw Steph Diggs in. I mean, last year, his first year here, he had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't finish great. The Super Bowl was a little bit of a letdown, but so was the entire offense and obviously the protection. But, yeah, and what was the clip that McDaniels spoke today? And he said, there's a force to the way he plays the game, maybe the closest thing I've seen since Gronk. This is a big guy. So, you know, and you feel like you're simpatico with Josh.
Yeah.
The only pushback that I see, now Philadelphia, obviously being what it is, this is not a big shock. But the headline in the Philly Inquirer from Marcus Hayes is, good riddance, super diva wideout, A.J. Brown's talents couldn't compensate for all the headaches. And he goes into, here's just read the first part of it. Rejoice that A.J. Brown was an Eagle. Be glad that he spent 4 years as the best receiver the franchise has ever known. Rejoice now that he's gone. No more distractions, no more favoritism, no more veiled accusations that Jalen Hurts lacks the arm strength, the courage, and the football IQ to maximize his talent. No more insubordinate accusations on social media that the Eagles' offense, led by a callow coordinator, is a bleep show. So, and it just goes into, you know, some of the drama that he had there.
Sure.
But do you worry about that? I think it is a legit question. Because even on the text line, some people are like, okay, this guy is going to be a diva. But when he talks, he actually wears it with a badge of honor. He comes in and he says, I'm going to try to push this team. And he admits that he uses the media for that purpose to try to get the team fired up, which is something different than I've ever heard a guy say.
I just don't think under Vrabel it's going to be that way. I just have a feeling that, you know, when you have Nick Sirianni, he doesn't come across as an alpha. And Ted said it best. Like, Mike Vrabel is an alpha's alpha. Like, when he's in a room, no matter who the player is, he is the guy in charge. It's one of the reasons I wanted him to be a coach here, even when they brought in Gerard Mayo. I'm like, what are you doing? Go after Mike Vrabel. I don't feel that A.J. Brown is going to be, I mean, what's the term we're looking for? A loose cannon?
I could see him. I could see he and McDaniels snapping at each other on the sideline. I think we're going to get that, which may not be a bad thing. Like, he did it with Sirianni. I could see he and Drake May having some moments. That would be the biggest one you worry about. Like, get me the football.
I just think that A.J. Brown is going to fall in love with Drake May because his style of football is perfect for A.J. Brown. Absolutely perfect. Hand in glove, perfect.
Yep.
Made for a player like A.J. Brown. I did enjoy the question that was asked about his knee because it's a tough question. I wanted to hear his reaction to it. Do we have that by any chance? You just said thumbs up. Do we have the knee question? All right. Can I hear that one more time? I thought this was one of the better questions, except for, of course, you know, when you get over the magic of being a Patriot. Let's take a listen to this one more time.
Curious with your knee. Can you just let us know kind of how your knee is feeling, any updates with that, Because I know sometimes that the injury has come up.
No injury, nothing to worry about. You know, I think this whole little, you got to understand where I came from. So any conversation about anything is going to come up, you know. So maybe in, 4 years, I missed one game from shot to the knee. So that's nothing to worry about. I'm good. I'm ready to go, you know. So,
do you believe him?
I do believe him, especially this year. It's the magic of year one is going to be strong with this one.
And it will be magical.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to argue with his, you know, his resume. It's not like he is missing games. He's not Garrett Crochet. He's not our man Roman right now. He's the guy plays.
All right. So I wrote this down during the commercial break here because who is it who had the hot take on ESPN?
Damian Woody.
Damian Woody.
Yeah.
That this is now the Patriots have the best receiving core in the league. And you hear that, and you're immediately like, I don't know. That
Patriots
right.
wide receiver room may be the best in the league.
All right. So I wrote down a couple that I think are better. The Dallas Cowboys, they have a better receiving corps.
Now, are you talking – we're just going top two here, which really I think you have to – obviously there are a lot of three wide receiver
you're
sets.
You're talking about like the top two players
Yeah, but
together?
You're not going like deep down the roster
no,
of the,
no, no,
of
no.
the Cowboys.
All you have to do is do top two. Matter of fact, the list I'm looking at here, the list that I wrote down, I'm thinking top two because you got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. I think that the Cowboys
– That's fair.
– might be the best.
Yep.
But if they're not the best, they're 1A, 1B, somewhere around there, and that would be the Bengals, the other one.
Bengals,
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins.
And the Rams. I think you got to put the Rams ahead of them with Puka and Davante Adams.
I think that's another great one, which I did not write down.
I think you could make an argument the Pats have the fourth best duo, but I would say Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I wrote down Detroit. Yeah. That was the other team
Jameson
I wrote down.
Williams. And Denver, maybe, now that they got Jalen Waddle. Depends how you feel about Waddle and Cortland Sutton.
I would put them on par with the Patriots, but yeah. I do think that that's obviously one that's in the it's in the conversation. But to immediately crown the Patriots as having the best receiving core is jumping to conclusions because we haven't even seen. Now, is there a possibility that Drake May can turn them into the best receiving? Absolutely. Drake May is exactly the kind of guy. I said this before. I mean, if you want a receiver that fits perfectly to what Drake May does, A.J. Brown is the guy, and I believe the entire time that's why they were so locked in on we will give you a first-round pick. This is exactly what this team needs. I thought there was a moment yesterday, which was probably the one thing about the trade yesterday that got me the most excited, was that when we had Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on, he said from what he has been hearing, he thinks the Patriots might not be done. And he mentioned edge rusher.
Yep.
And that, to me, made my ears perk up because right now it's an A. You can give this offseason an A for the Patriots. They've done essentially everything that they could do except for one position, and that is edge rusher, which there's a seems to be a pretty big hole there. Like, that is it is underwhelming what they're offering. If you were able to go to the Giants or go to Arizona and make some sort of deal, man – I mean, now you kind of got to keep going, right? Your chips are almost all the way in. Like, you are close.
Well, you need to sign Gonzalez.
All the way in.
You better sign Gonzo, right?
I'm assuming they get that done. There's no way they can let him walk. There's no way they can't, like, sign that deal. And it will be a record-breaking deal. It will set the market. But they're going to have to do it if they want to keep him.
And you're a little bit of worry now. Vrabel at his press conference today called the injury to Julian Hill, the tight end, devastating. Like, they paid up the guy 3 years, $15 million to
come here
and be the backup tight end. So that sucks. Maybe would they look for another tight end to replace him? I mean, they might actually be back in that market again if they felt it was so important to get a blocking tight end.
I mean, they're doing a lot this offseason. Like, this is a busy – if they're going to get an edge rusher too,
that's great.
I mean, you can't really do much better than they've done.
But just the thought of, even if it's just Drake and A.J. Brown, if they connect for 1,500 yards or whatever this year, and I thought Cowherd made a good point on Fox. He was just talking about, look how good the running games were wherever A.J. Brown was. Now, obviously, they had Derrick Henry in Tennessee and Saquon Barkley in Philly, so some of the premier guys in the league. But A.J. Brown helps to open up the run game just based on defensive coverages, and, you know, Ted was speaking about that yesterday. So I think you could even hope for a better running attack just because A.J. Brown's here.
And then you know what the offense is going to be? Magical.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what one of the guys at one of the reporters asked. It was absolutely magical. All right.
The magic of being a Patriot.
He probably had a decent question there. He just didn't get to it. You
no,
can't get over the hump there.
No, you know, he's kind of –
What are your expectations?
Even if
for
you got to write it out, you know, you can't say that. And then he like hemmed and hawed.
Damn. Kind of sounded like Jackson at the bike for the comedy night.
I just think that he was sitting there.
I was just thinking the same damn thing.
I just think his head was in this like happy space when he thought of the magic, and he was like, the magic of being a patriot.
There we go. Get some America.
Is that what that is? Yeah. Or maybe we could even go like even more like, magic, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. Magic.
Cars.
Yeah, it's a long build-up, so I'm going to cut it off. All right, 617-779-7937. More magical moments right here on Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. It's 937 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. By the way, you can give us a call. 617-779-7937. I do want to just quickly mention, I was looking up, you know, I was talking about how A.J. Brown is absolutely perfect for Drake May.
It really is.
It's a hand in a glove.
The people that are pushing back on this is like kind of mind-boggling. I know there aren't many, but on the open market, a guy of this age would sign for at least $30 million a year. You're getting him essentially for 2 years, $50 million without any strings attached past that. Now, you give up first-round pick, I get it, but your team has had 2,000-yard receivers in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
This guy is a guaranteed 1,000-yard receiver and could compete with Moss, could be, you know, maybe the best, you know, receiver season we've ever seen around here.
Well, to my point, A.J. Brown scored 18 touchdowns in receptions of 20-plus air yards during his 4 seasons with the Eagles. All right, that's the most in the NFL. And Drake May led the NFL in air yards per attempt and yards per attempt last year. It's just a perfect fit.
Yeah.
When it comes to a deep ball thrower, this is exactly the kind of player that you want. Let's go to Joe.
And for some reason, a Pats fan since birth because his cousin was randomly a Pats fan and watched every game like since he was 2. It's unbelievable.
It's magical. Let's go to Joe on line one. Joe, what's happening, my man?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Rich. I don't understand why you're giving that reporter such a hard time. I mean, A.J. Brown was basically painting the picture of this magical moment as he walked onto the field.
That's true.
And he was talking him up, I mean, as if he was having a magical moment. I think the reporter was saying, once the newness wears off, what are you going to do?
Okay.
That's basically what he was saying.
I can see how it could be a good question, but you have to admit the way it was phrased was pretty hysterical.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it was hysterical, but I mean, you got to lay off the guy a little bit.
Well, as I said, I haven't said his name, even though I apparently found out who it was. Yeah. I don't want the guy to feel bad. It was just because we all thought
you were too busy talking in the studio, telling everybody how much you know about music and pop culture, so you weren't listening.
It is true. Sometimes I get allergic to sports.
There are certain
times where we've talked about the same topic over and over again, where I do get allergic to sports. That is definitely true. I will take that criticism all day because he is 100% right. All right, so we've got what is this clip here that you wanted to play? This is the one from...
Okay, so this if you want more A.J. Brown, I think this with Maria Taylor is interesting because he's talking about his strategy. He's going to come in and try to be a leader. Now, he said in the thing today he didn't want to get out in front of the team because he's got to earn it. So I think he's a pretty smart guy. Like, he's definitely aware of like what's going on around him. And I encourage you to listen to the whole 25-minute podcast with Maria Taylor.
I'd rather not.
He's loose. But here's a clip where he talked about why he used the media to push the Eagles and how that went.
Okay. How were you responding in those moments?
Not every moment. I can say I handled it the best way, you know. Especially the ones that was on social media like that. That was wrong, you know. And me taking accountability for that.
Who's
but
the
with
kid
my teammates, I feel like I handled the things correctly.
Where are they doing the interview? What is that?
It's at his house, which there is no furniture left.
Okay.
He has already moved to New England. It's clear. And they did the interview like last week, so I think it's his kids in the background.
All right, so he already knew this was happening. Rest of us, there was no surprise. He was already here. He'd already gone to Jordan's and picked out his stuff.
Pretty much.
You know, we had tough conversations. We had face-to-face conversations, and we talked and we pushed each other, you know. And we didn't really care who was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a leader, you know, sometimes, you know, that can be frowned upon from the media. But, you know, it's always that one guy in that locker room who pushes guys and holds people accountable. And that was me. Mm-hmm. And
can we stop for a second? The one thing I'll say about that is that you don't want him to have that extra pressure for having to be that guy. And in New England, he doesn't have to be because Vrabel's that guy.
I think he's so involved with the defense. I think on offense, you had Steph Diggs do that last year, and you kind of need a guy. Maybe it's Drake. Maybe it's Hunter Henry. But I think there is some pressure on him, and it sounds like he likes doing it as long as everybody receives it well.
I don't mind him being a leader in the locker room, but not to the point where he feels he has to send messages on social media. Like, that's when it becomes toxic.
So,
like,
for instance, if you
keep it inside the locker room and you're able to talk to your guys and you're able to motivate them, that's perfectly fine. But if you do stuff like, I mean, Kurt Schilling is an example that I'll immediately think of. I know that we've had players that are, you know, used to play with him. They called him Red Light Schilling because anytime there was a camera in front of him, he couldn't wait to just, like, tell all of the details of everybody else that was in the locker room.
Right.
To the point where no one wanted to sit near him. This is, once again, not my opinion. This is the people who played with him told me that. So I think that if you are a vocal leader and you keep it in the locker room, that is the best kind of leader you can have. But once you start going and doing things on social media and start getting almost passive aggressive.
Well, that's what he did here. So in one case, September 28th, Eagles just beat Tampa. Brown had 2 catches for 7 yards. He didn't talk to reporters. He went to social media. He posted a gospel verse that said, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw, don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way. And the caption was, the only one we should ever concern ourselves with is God. Like, so he does stuff like that, which now he's telling Maria Taylor, this was me trying to fire the team up.
Now, do you see him doing that under Vrabel? Stiz, do you see him doing that with Vrabel as the head coach?
I mean, the fact that he did it once isn't a great sign. But to your larger point, no, probably not.
No. I think it's
not during the magic of year one.
No, not during the magic of year one. No, absolutely not. I wouldn't.
The magic of being a Patriot.
Oh, he is just fantastic. Yes, he is. All right. So, Mike Vrabel, you know, he spoke earlier too, and he was talking about A.J. Brown and his relationship with him. And, you know, because A.J. Brown, when he was asked about it, said, you know, we didn't get along when we first met. And Mike Vrabel kind of spoke a little bit about that. Do you have that clip, Ken? Clip two. It's the
I got it.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear it, Stiz.
Well, not important. I mean, again, I think that just trying to improve our football team every possible way, you know, give our offense multiple weapons to build on what we did last year. And I think having, you know, experience with the person, you know, it to be able to add an accomplished NFL football player, receiver, premium player at his position, but somebody that we also, you know, feel strongly about as a person and a competitor and as a teammate. You know, I appreciate Elliot for being able to work and get that done.
So I think the one you're looking for was one that Curran asked him, and it was about things that come up during the season. And he admitted, Vrabel admitted, that things will come up with him. If you
sure.
want to hear that, so this is the one.
Well, I mean, again, whatever happens or comes up, I think that I can't say that there's not going to be things that come up with AJ, with any single player, right? I think that this is a competitive game, highly competitive.
So he goes on from there, but that's Vrabel saying, yeah, stuff comes up with him.
Oh, sure. But I don't think, I honestly think that it's not going to be as much of a problem as it was when Sirianni was in charge. I just think that Vrabel's not going to take that. It's a little bit different. He's one of the rare coaches that you can say that about in this league. I think the players respect him too much. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't think he immediately right off the... I think he's going to be happy. I think when you're happy and you're getting fed the ball a lot, you tend to shut the F up and enjoy your time here. And I don't think that when you've got Drake May... When you got Drake May as your guy, you are going to be getting the ball an ass load, and you're going to be posting huge numbers. And I'm telling you, put this guy in your fantasy team because they're just going to, it's going to be the sign of a young quarterback in his third year, the year where they usually ascend, a guy who's already known for his 20 plus bombs and a player who excels in that. One of the best players over the last 4 years in exactly that stat. So if you're looking for a dude to put on your fantasy team, A.J. Brown is your guy.
Do you think they'll win in Seattle week one? Does it feel like this team is like Super Bowl caliber right out of the chute?
Man, there's a lot of stuff you got to get.
It is a tough schedule.
It's tough. And there's a lot of stuff you got to get right. You got to get on the same page. I don't know. I mean, it sure feels like they've got a better shot than they did, you know, a couple weeks ago. I also don't know how much this Rossini thing is going to F up
it's
everything.
It's gone.
This
is right. It's done.
It's not gone.
It's over. I'm convinced.
She has to speak. Nope. And we don't know how much that's going to screw up everything. All right. We have a very cool guest on with us. So Caleb Durbin, as you know, has not been hitting very well for the Red Sox and caused quite a stir because if you read that Breslow article, and you also know that it seems like there's just not enough help for the batters right now. And Caleb Durbin said, enough. I am going outside the organization and I am going to get somebody who I have been told is an excellent batting coach to help me out. What does that say about the Red Sox that one of their own players had to leave their organization and independently get his own batting coach? We have that batting coach on with us. He will be on with us. We're not going far. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.